We're holding on static tests, onward bays, six lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that on Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat samuch l'mincha. You're not allowed to start a meal samuch l'mincha, which means a half hour or half a shah's manis before the time of mincha, which in the end, we're going to discuss it later on Daf Kuf Zayin, but in the end, we're going to come out saying, as Rashbam says over here, that it means mincha ktana. It means 9.5 hours in the day. So beginning from 9 hours into the day, the beginning of the 10th hour, you're not allowed to make a soda on Erev Pesach. So we said we brought a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi argue about that, not about Erev Pesach, but they argue about Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov in general, where Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to start a meal mina mincha olamayla, and Rabbi Yossi allows it. So in that case, does that mean that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, since our Mishnah limits that specifically to Erev Pesach? So we had two answers. We had Rav Huna saying that you're right, our Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda would say the same rule applies on every Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rabbi Yossi says it applies only to Erev Pesach because you have a chiyuv to eat matzah. Rav Papa says that no, the difference is that Rabbi Yehuda on a regular Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov would say that you can't start mina mincha lamayla from the actual time of mincha, which is going to be 9.5 hours. But on Erev Pesach, he moves it up and says, Samoch l'mincha, you can't either. So there would still be a difference. So our Mishnah could be according to the Yehuda as well. A regular Erev Shabbos or Yom Tov, you would have to stop. You can't start a meal the beginning of the 10th hour of the day. So let's say on a day when the sun rises at 6 and sets at 6, that would be 3:30. On a regular Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's your deadline. Whereas on Erev Pesach, the deadline is moved up a half hour to, let's say, to 3 o'clock. So the Gemara asks, over Erev Shabbos, Samoch L'mincha Shari. So you're telling me that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you'd be allowed to eat on a regular Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, Samoch L'mincha, a half hour before Mincha, because that's what you're saying, according to the Papa, that Rabbi Yehuda would draw a distinction between Erev Pesach and every other Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'hatanya, but we learn in a braisa. Lo yoichel adam be'erev Shabbos yamim tovim mitesha shoy salamayla. A person should not eat on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov from 9 hours and later, meaning from the end of the 9th hour, so 3 o'clock, k'deshi yikonis l'Shabbos k'shu taiva, so that he comes into Shabbos with an appetite for the Shabbos food. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yossi yomer oichel v'hoylech ad shetechshach. Rabbi Yossi says you can continue eating until it gets dark. So therefore, we see in this braisa that Rabbi Yehuda, even on a regular Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, is not allowing you to eat after 9 hours in the day. So in that case, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, there should be no difference between Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov versus Erev Pesach. So we're back to the question then, does that mean our Mishnah, which after all is a Stam Mishnah, we'd like it to go according to everybody, does that mean it's not according to Rabbi Yehuda? However, the Gemara says, Oma Mazutra. So Mazutra says, so why is it such a problem that you're quoting this last braisa? Man le malon de mitaratzdehi. Who says that this last braisa that we quoted is correct? Duma meshabeshdehi. Maybe there's a mistake in the braisa. Maybe the braisa, instead of saying Teisha Shoris Olamayla, maybe it was supposed to say Teisha Umechza Shoris Olamayla. The Tana of the braisa left out the word Umechza. And the reason why we would want to say that is, again, because The previous braisa that we brought, the previous braisa that we brought mentioned mina mincha olamayla. That allows us to say, like Rav Papa says, that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas this last braisa we just quoted clearly says that the rule of samoch l'mincha applies to every Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that would mean that our Mishnah, which specifies that it's only Erev Pesach, would not be like Rabbi Yehuda. So we have reason to argue that the previous braisa was accurate, presented Rabbi Yehuda's opinion accurately, and our braisa is missing a word. It's missing the word umechza. But Amalei Marema v'Iteima Rabbi Yemer. But so Barzutra had asked, maybe the Braisa is mistaken. But Marema, or some say Rabbi Yemer, says no. It can't be that there was a mistake in this braisa. Ano ikli lepirke de Pinchas bre de Rav Ami. I one time was at the shear of Rav Pinchas bre de Rav Ami. V'kam tana v'toni kamei. A tana got up and taught this braisa, this last braisa that we just quoted, that says that Rav Yehuda says that you can't eat on Erev Shabbos from Teisha Shoy Salamayla, from 9 hours. So this, the tana taught that braisa as is in front of Rav Pinchas bre de Rav Ami, v'kibla minei, and Rav Pinchas bre de Rav Ami accepted it as valid. So we can't say that there was a mistake in the braisa. Well, then the question is, Ihochi Kasha. Well, then in that case, then we have a problem. Because again, we have in this last braisa, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that every Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat from Teisha Shoy Salamayla. So now there's no way to make our Mishnah work according to Rabbi Yehuda, seeing as how Rabbi Yehuda says that seeing as how in the Mishnah, it says that that's true only of Erev Pesach. So, okay, Elama Chavarta, Kedir Rav Huna. So it's clear we have to answer like Rav Huna. We have to say, therefore, that when the first Braisa said, Mina Mincha Olamayla, what it really meant was not exactly Mincha, but Samoch Lamincha, and therefore that it would be only according to, so our Mishnah would, so Rabbi Yehuda would say, therefore, that this rule applies to every Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, and Rabbi Yossi would say it applies only to Erev Pesach, and therefore our Mishnah would be only according to Rabbi Yossi and not according to Rabbi Yehuda. So now the question is, Ulo Rav Huna mi nicha? Okay, but does that mean then that you're saying that everything works out well according to Rav Huna? But v'ha amar Rav Yirmiya amar Rav Yechanan v'itema amar Rav Abahu amar Rav Yosi v'chanina halacha k'Rav Yehuda be'erev Pesach. When it comes to Erev Pesach, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, that you can't eat beginning from mina mincha olamayla or from samoch lamincha v'halacha k'Rav Yosi be'erev Shabbos. And on the other hand, when it comes to a regular Erev Shabbos, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that you can start eating as late as you want. Now, the fact that he says halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda be'erev Pesach, if he says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, now if we were to say that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi agree that on Erev Pesach you can't eat mitesha shoy salamayla, because that's what we'd be saying. The braisa that we quoted earlier, the braisa that we quoted at the beginning of the sugya, said that Rabbi Yehuda had said that a person can't eat on Erev Shabbos or Yom Tov mina mincha olamayla, which we're saying, okay, mina mincha olamayla doesn't mean actually mincha. It means from a half hour before mincha. And Rabbi Yehuda says that of every Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov. Meanwhile, our Mishnah says that only of Erev Pesach, and according to Rav Huna's answer, that means that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi. But the fact that Rabbi Yirmiya or Rabbi Abahu has to tell us the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, miklal de polig Rabbi Yossi b'tavayu. That implies that Rabbi Yossi argues about both of them. Otherwise, there's no need to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because when it comes to Erev Pesach, we would say both of them agree. So even according to Rav Huna, it doesn't seem to work out. You can't say, therefore, that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yossi, because it seems that Rabbi Yossi also disagrees when it comes to Erev Pesach and says that you can't, that you could start eating as late as you want. The answer is loy. Not necessarily does that mean that Rabbi Yossi disagrees. It means miklal de pligi b'hafsaka. Rather, when we say, when Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Abahu are saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, we don't mean as far as starting a meal, we mean as far as interrupting the meal. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda would both agree that you can't start a meal after the end of the ninth hour on Erev Pesach. So after 3 o'clock on Erev Pesach, you can't start a meal. And our Mishnah, so Erev Pesach, they would both agree. Rabbi Yehuda says not only Erev Pesach, but every Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. So our Mishnah, which limits that to Erev Pesach, is according to Rabbi Yossi. But there's a different argument between them also. What about if a person began his meal, and then if a person began his meal in the proper time, does he have to interrupt it when it comes Bein Hashmashah? So when Shabbos or Yom Tov begins, and we know that they argue about that. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braise, mafsikin la Shabbos es divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to interrupt your meal for Shabbos. So even you began your meal beheter, you began it long before Mincha, but you're still going on, you're still eating when Shabbos or Yom Tov begins. Rabbi Yehuda would say that you have to actually interrupt your meal. You have to, bench. And you have to bench, and then you have to make kiddush and start a new meal. Tosfos spells it out. Actually, it says that in those times, as we're going to see in various places in our perek, they used to have the everybody. We said that everybody reclined on couches. We said on Pesach everybody has to recline, even a poor person who doesn't have a couch to recline on. But the usual way was then that a person is reclining on a couch to eat, and they would have a little table in front of him that he would eat off of. So what they would do is they would actually bring the table in to him after he's reclining. So now what it means is, in other words, they have to actually, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you actually have to remove the table, bench, and then you make kiddush, and then you make kiddush, and then they bring the table reset for Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda says you have to do that. Rabbi Yossi Omer ain mafsikin. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to. Given that you began your meal beheter, then you're not required to interrupt in the middle. In fact, Tosfos says, so what would Rabbi Yossi say? He would say you could finish your entire meal, your bench, and only then do you make kiddush. Because, I mean, you do have to have kiddush makom soda, but the fact is that in this case, it is considered Kiddush Makom Soda because you're making Kiddush right after the meal, and that meal actually counts as your Shabbos Soda, even though you began it long before Shabbos. Tosfos actually points out, according to if we say, now we're saying in the Gemara over here that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda by Erev Pesach, meaning, in other words, we're saying that again, Rabbi Yossi disagrees even when it comes to Erev Pesach and says, im hischilu ein mafsikin, that once you began beheter, you're not obligated to stop. So according to Rabbi Yossi, it would come out what you're actually going to do. Tosfos says is you would do the Dalet Kosis, but you do them out of order. For, like this, we have the Dalet Kosis. The first one's for Kiddush. The second one's after Magid. The third one is after benching. The third one is the Kosis of Birkas HaMazon. And the fourth one is with Hallel. In this scenario, according to Rabbi Yossi, now we're saying the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi. So far, we're saying anyway, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Erev Pesach. But according to Rabbi Yossi himself, what you would actually do is you would have the first kos would be for Birkas HaMazon, for the meal that you just finished. Then would be the kos for Kiddush. Then would be the one for Magid. And then would be the one for Hallel. So you'd have you'd take the what's usually the third one for benching, and you'd put it first, according to him. Anyway, so we see that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi disagree on that point also. If you started a meal beheter, you started in the proper time, then do you have to interrupt your meal and bench and have the table removed as they did in those days, and then make kiddush? Rabbi Yehuda says yes, and Rabbi Yossi says that not. So when it comes to Erev Pesach, we're saying that when it comes to Erev Pesach, then the halacha would be like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Braise continues, Umaisa b'Rab Shimon Gamliel v'Rab Yehuda v'Rab Yosi, show you Masubim ba'akoi. It happened once on a regular Shabbos, not necessarily on Pesach, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi were all reclining and eating in Akoi, the Kodesh Aleihem Ayoim, and now they had started. They'd started Beheter, of course. These Tanoim are not going to start Beisur after the time, but they started Beheter. They started before 9 hours of the day. They're still continuing their meal when Shabbos began. Amalei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel asked Rabbi Yossi, "Berabi." He says, Berabi, which means the great, which means Gadol Hadur, Rashbam says. You have in a number of places in Shas the expression Berabi or Beribi doesn't mean son of Rebbe, means a great Tamar Chacham. So he says to Rabbi Yossi, very respectfully, Berabi, Ritzoncha Nafsik, do you want that we should stop our meal and bench the Nechush Ladiva Yehuda Chavireinu, and that way we will show regard, that way we'll show concern for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you have to do that on every Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rabbi Yossi answers no. B'chol yoyim v'yoyim at mechabev dvarai lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. Every other time you prefer my opinion over that of Rabbi Yehuda. Now all of a sudden you want that you now all of a sudden you want to prefer Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in my presence, as the pasuk says in Megillas Esther. Are you gonna take over the queen right there with me in the house? In other words, it's one thing if I wasn't here, but I'm right here. You're gonna set aside my opinion in favor of Rabbi Yehuda's and embarrass me? Amalei, sort of Shimon Gamliel says, Imkein loy nafsik. Oh, you know what? In that case, then taka, we won't stop. Shema yiru atamidim yikbu halacha ladoris. Because if you hadn't said anything, then okay, people would say that fine, we're being machmir, not because the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, but because we want to be choshish for his opinion. But once you mention that point, that after all, you're present and it wouldn't be derech eretz stick for you, then if now we still go and interrupt the meal, like Rabbi Yehuda says, then the talmidim who are seeing us eating are going to think that that is the halacha for all future generations. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, I agree, the halacha should be like you, and we can't do that. So it's one thing to be machmer, it's a one-off thing. It's another thing to that people should think that that's the halacha. Amru, so they said, loy zazu misham, ad shekavu halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. So they didn't move from there before they established definitively that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, that you don't need to interrupt. So we see from this, Rashbam summarizes, that on Erev Pesach, you have on Mishnah saying that you can't eat from Teisha Shoros Lamaila. Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, the halacha would be like Rabbi Yosi, that you are allowed to eat min HaMincha Lamaila. In general, anyway, when they have a machlokas Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, anyway, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. When it comes to hafsaka, though, when it comes to interrupting, then on Erev Pesach, we're saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, you would need to interrupt your meal. Even if you started eating on Erev Pesach before Teisha Shoros, you would need to bench and take away the table and then bring it back for the Seder. So we said that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi are both talking about Samoch L'mincha, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying that on any Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to. Rabbi Yosi says only Erev Pesach. As far as Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're going to be instead Potus, Mapo, Makadish, as we're going to discuss the details of that, shortly. So the bottom line is, in other words, that usually when it comes to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, so far we're saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, you would actually be allowed to begin a meal even after Teisha Shoros. So far we're saying, but when it comes to Hafsaka, Tosfos goes on to say the fact that we're saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi in Hafsaka implies that we shouldn't hold like him. If you started your meal and it's continuing, then you don't have to be mafsik. But not that you should do that lachatchila. And b'chlal, the halacha may be like Rabbi Yosi only as far as Hafsaka, not as far as Haschala. In Shulchan Aruch, actually, what it says is the better thing that you are technically allowed to eat a regular meal on Erev Shabbos as late in the day as you want, as Rabbi Yosi is saying. No, we're talking even washing, but a regular meal such as you would have on weekdays. It's better to not do it mitesha Shoros Lamaila. If it's a big suda, the kind that you don't have on a regular weekday, then you're not allowed to have it any time on Erev Shabbos unless it's something where kavua loizman, unless it's a thing where it has a fixed time. For example, this past week we had Purim on Friday, and the ideal thing to do was to wash before Chatzos and B'diavad. If you didn't do that, then you wash before 9 hours in the day, because that meal gets kavur that day. You can't push it to another day. Same thing, a bris, a pidyon haben, other things like that. But if you stam wanted to have a big meal, not for any special occasion, then you're not allowed to have it on Erev Shabbos at all, actually. But if it's a regular meal, you are technically allowed to have it all day, but better that you should start it before 9 hours in the day. And as far as what happens if you started your meal and then it goes into Shabbos or it goes into Yom Tov, that's what we're going to talk now about the matter of Potus, Mapo, Makadish. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Ain halacha loyka Rabbi Yehuda v'loyka Rabbi Yosi. Actually, the halacha, as far as mafsikin, is not like Rabbi Yehuda that you have to stop completely and bench and take away the table and so forth, and not like Rabbi Yosi that you can just continue eating and then make kiddush at the end of your meal. Ela poras mapo makadish. Rather, what you have to do poras mapo makadish. That means poras mapo means you spread out a cloth. Now, what it is, in other words, again, when we're talking about in those days, when they had these small removable tables, you don't have to actually remove the table. But what you have to do is you have to cover the bread that's on the table. And now afterwards, symbolically, that's like you're taking it away. And now afterwards, when you uncover it, then you're showing as if that bread was brought lecovered Shabbos. So, right. So you have to have lecha mishnah. But actually, the Rashbam says there are two reasons why you protest Mapo Makadish. So what it would mean is, number one idea is we're going to talk about on Omid Beis that in general, if the challah is brought to the table before Kiddush, then you need to cover it for reasons that we're going to discuss on Omid Beis, three different reasons why. But in this case also, you cover it because it was brought before Kiddush, and then you go ahead and make Kiddush. The other possibility that Rashbam says is because after all, we're saying over here, really you should have had to remove the table like Rabbi Yehuda said. But instead of removing it, what we're saying is all you do is you cover the challah. And then what you do is you make kiddush and then you continue eating. Then what you do is you continue eating your meal. Now, first of all, Rashbam says, how is Shmuel able to argue with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi and say the halacha is not like either one of them, but rather protos mapo makadish? So Rashbam says that Shmuel is basically going like Rabbi Yosi. He's just being a little extra machmir. Instead of actually finishing the meal and only then making kiddush, he wants you to make kiddush in the middle and then you can continue your meal. Tosfos says that actually you don't need that. What it is there's actually a third opinion besides the two that we're bringing in our Gemara over here, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. There's also the Chachamim who say Podes Mapo Makadish, so Shmuel is going according to that. So now, potus mapo makadish, then, what it involves is like this. Now, if you drank wine in the meal already, then you don't make a bracha hagofen on kiddush because you already made a bracha hagofen earlier in the meal. And after all, you are going to be continuing the meal. So what you do is you would just say the bracha of kiddush if you're making, so if you're making kiddush on wine, you would just say the bracha of kiddush. You just say makadish hashabbos or the appropriate one for yom tov. If you're making kiddush on bread, same idea. You wouldn't say the bracha hamotzi, just the bracha of kiddush. Now, if you're making kiddush on wine, do you need to make the bracha hamotzi at that point? That is a machlokas rishonim. The Rif on our Gemara says you still would need to make hamotzi again because even though it's a continuation of the same meal, nevertheless the fact that you had to interrupt the meal in order to make kiddush, and after all, you can't very well be eating at that time, that's reason enough for it to be considered a hefsek, such that you should have to say hamotzi again. It doesn't matter, but nevertheless, that's what the Rif holds. On the other hand, many other Rishonim also hold that way. On the other hand, the Baal Amor and a few other Rishonim disagree and say that, no, what do you mean? What's the logic? You're going to say one benching for two hamotzis? You don't have like that. So therefore, he says that, no, you don't say hamotzi. It's still continued part of the same meal. So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings both deis. As usual, suffik brachas lahakol. So you wouldn't make hamotzi in that case. But you wouldn't make hamotzi in that case. You would just uncover the bread and eat from it for lecha mishnah and then continue with your meal. So you would have to have lecha mishnah because you have to have lecha mishnah lecovered Shabbos or lecovered Yom Tov. In this case, you had the bread on the table before, but what you do it. Well, so you'd need two whole loaves, yeah. But. So Lamaisa though. First of all, there is the idea among others that Alpi Kabbalah, it's not right to do that because you're mixing around the order of the brachas. You're not saying Hagofen before the bracha of Kiddush like you're supposed to. You're not saying Hamotzi, so therefore it's inappropriate for that. And of course, it can also be very confusing. So all these last couple of weeks before Purim, everybody was talking about it because people were wondering about what happens if their Suda goes into Shabbos. So technically, we're saying that you can be Purim Mapo Makadish, that you do that. However, the Rabbeim never used to do that. They would always just stop eating before Shkia and bench. And And what happened actually was in Tavshin Dalet Mem, the first 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were Thursday and Friday. So there was a Kos Shabracha for bringing on Friday, on the second day of Yom Tov, going into Shabbos. The Rebbe told the Gabbai then to announce the details of Poros Mapo Makadosh. He got it all mixed up. Mentlich tried to correct him and got even more mixed up. So the bottom line was that the people weren't sure. People weren't sure what to do. It was hard to get. It was hard to get a clarity. It was hard to make it clear to everybody what to do. So therefore, the Rebbe decided from then on we're not having the Olam do Poros Mapo Makadosh by Simchas Torah already that year. The Rebbe said don't do it. And a couple of years later, you can already find in a Sicha where the Rebbe says flatly it's not Minhag Chabad to do Poros Mapo Makadosh yet. So the din is still a din, but practically speaking, we don't do it. It's not that complicated, but it's something that people can easily get confused on the details. But I guess to a certain extent it was, because different people in 770 had food by them, I guess. I don't know.
So what do we do?
So practically speaking, if you're in a situation like that, practically speaking, what we end up doing is pretty much like what Rabbi Yehuda is saying over here, that you bench. We don't remove the tables nowadays because we don't have removable tables, but you bench and then afterwards you make kiddush and you start your Shabbos meal. Rather than relying, so technically, al pi halacha, you could rely on Poros Mapo Makadosh, but Minhag Chabad is now not to do that. Okay.
Are you saying that before Shkia you bench and then you wait until Tzei?
Yes, before Shkia, exactly. Before Shkia you bench, then you, no, I mean, after that, you could technically make Shkia. You could technically make Kiddush anytime after Shkia. You know, you're allowed to make Kiddush early. Only on Pesach night you can't, because we're saying the first one of the Dalet Kosis has to be after nightfall. So if this happens on Erev Pesach, then yeah, you'd have a substantial break in your meal, but you know, when you get down to it, Erev Pesach, realistically, you're not eating hamotzi anyway, because we said, Tosfos had said, we quoted yesterday, that the only kind of matzah, you can't eat bread, obviously, it's well after the time of Achilas Chometz. The only thing you could eat is matzah ashira, and on minhag, the Ashkenazic minhag anyway, is not to use matzah ashira on Pesach anyhow, because you're concerned that a little bit of water might have gotten mixed in, and that it can become chometz faster. So practically speaking, you're not going to have this situation, at least, on Erev Pesach, but on a regular Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, yeah, what you do is you stop eating before Shkia, you bench, and then you make Kiddush and start your Shabbos Suda, and then do things in the normal order, Hagofen and Mekadosh Shabbos and so forth.
Can you make Kiddush on a Safek, because it's Ben Hashmashos and it's a Safek?
It's not a matter of Safek. It's not a matter of Safek. You're allowed to be Mosif Mechol Al HaKodesh, so you're allowed to make Kiddush. You're allowed to make Kiddush early. It's not a Safek. You know that Shabbos is coming. Yom Tov, same thing. Shavuos, there's a minig not to. Shavuos, there's a minig that we only daven after Tzeis HaKachavim because you want Sheva Shabbos as Tzmimis, but that's, yeah. What were you going to ask, Kelly? Now, the davening itself is not necessarily considered a hefsik to the extent that you would have to bench and then start the meal over again. You could daven right there in your dining room and then continue. That wouldn't necessarily be considered a hefsik. Because the fact that you're, because the difference is, it's not the amount of time it takes. When you're Poros Mapo, it means you're demonstrating, I'm not eating this bread now because I'm bringing it to the table, L'Kavod Shabbos or L'Kavod Yom Tov. So therefore, that's enough to make a hefsek, and according to the Rif, even enough to make a new bracha amotzi. No, but you don't necessarily go to shul. You could just be davening in your house. Yeah. Okay. Onward. The Gemara says, Eini. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? That Poros Mapo Makadosh, v'ha'amar of tachlifa baravdimi amar Shmuel, k'shem shemafsikin l'kiddush, the same way as you have to stop your meal in order to make kiddush, kach mafsikin l'havdala, the same way you have to break for havdala. Same idea, you're sitting Shabbos afternoon and having shalosh shodes. If it comes time for havdala, then you would need to break. So my mafsikin, when we say mafsikin, my lavla kiras shulchan, doesn't that mean that you actually have to remove the table? And that means, in other words, Poros Mapo is not enough. The answer is loy l'mapa. No, it doesn't mean that. It just means as far as covering it with a cloth. Now, in that, Tosfos says that we're going to have later on in the Perek, in a few days, we're going to have a statement of Rav who says that you don't have to interrupt for Havdalah. And therefore, the halacha, when Rav argues with Shmuel in Dine Isser Veheter, generally the halacha is like Rav. So it is over here. So for Havdalah, you don't have to break. For Kiddush, you have to break. But for Havdalah, you don't have to. You can continue eating as late as you want. And then when you're done eating, you can make Havdalah. And the Alter Rebbe discusses it at some length in a Kuntres Achron in Simon Reish Ayin Aleph. The Alter Rebbe goes through many different opinions of Rishonim and Achronim on this topic. One thing he says is because the idea is that Kiddush is supposed to be made as early as possible. Therefore, you have more reason to say that you should be Potus Mapo Makadish rather than to say that you should wait all the way until the end of the meal, which could be a few hours into Shabbos, and only then are you going to make Kiddush. Whereas Havdalah, you don't really have that consideration, and therefore there's no problem with continuing to eat and only making Havdalah at the end. Okay. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna ikla le Reish Kalusa. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna one time visited the household of the Reish Kalusa. Now Rashi says that the situation was that they were eating on Erev Shabbos and Kodesh Alein Hayom, as we said, that they were eating and Shabbos started during their meal. The Rashbam brings that explanation, but he says, I don't like it. He says, I don't like it because it doesn't really fit with the fact that we're going to bring a Braisa that talks about a different case. So rather he says that what we're talking about is he came there on an Erev Shabbos. It was a regular thing. There was nothing that they were in the middle of eating a meal on Erev Shabbos. They came home from shul, and now what they should have done is again in those times when they had the movable tables, he would have made Kiddush, and only afterwards, after he made Kiddush, would they have brought out the table with the challah on it. Instead, they brought that out first. So it wasn't a case of Potus Mapo Makadish, but it was a case of they brought out the challah before he had made Kiddush. So one second. So we'll talk about, don't we always have challah on the table nowadays? Hold on. So Isutaka Kameh, they brought out the table in front of him with bread on it, Potus Mapo Makadish. So he spread out a cloth over the challah, and then he made Kiddush. So again, according to Rashbam's preferred explanation, we're not talking about that they had been eating before. He wasn't Potus Mapa in order to break up the meal, like we said before. He was Potus Mapa because you're supposed to make Kiddush before the challah is brought to the table, which we'll talk about in a second why we don't do that nowadays. And then he made Kiddush and then they washed. The idea is you want that the challah, it should seem that the challah is being brought to the table a covered Shabbos. And that happens only if it's brought after Kiddush. Otherwise, it just looks like it was there, stamp. So therefore, if it was already there, then Potus Mapo Makadish. Again, the Rashbam brings a second explanation, and this is Rashi's explanation as well, that we're talking about that they were eating late on Erev Shabbos, and Shabbos began, and they were still eating, and therefore he was Potus Mapo Makadish. But the Rashbam says the next Braisa that we're going to talk about is talking about beginning the meal, not continuing it. Therefore, we can't say that it has to do with Potus Mapo Makadish. So Tanya Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in a Braisa, the Shovin She'ein Mevienes HaShochan Eleim Kein Kiddush, they both agree that you only bring the table only if you made Kiddush. Now, who's the they agree? The Rashbam says, who's the they that we're talking about that agree? So he says maybe it means Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda that we said before. They argue about Hafsaka, but they're saying that you shouldn't bring it unless you make Kiddush. Then he says maybe another possibility is Bishama and Bishillel, who argue in Brachas about what do you do first, Kiddush or washing for Hamotzi. They would both agree that the bread is only brought to the table after Kiddush. With that said, though, Rabbi Rashbam says that maybe the word Vishavim doesn't belong in the Gemara over here at all. Maybe somebody put it in by mistake. Anyway. So v'imhevi, and if so you shouldn't bring the table with the challah on it unless they make Kiddush. V'imhevi potus mapo makadish. If they did, then you cover it with a cloth and then you make Kiddush, which is what Rabbi Bar Rav Huna did. There is actually a different girsa that Rabbeinu Hananel has here, and some of the other Rishonim have as well, that the Braisa is actually before the story of Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, in which case it's not showing a proof for what he did. Rather, it's showing a proof for what Shmuel said, that you potus mapo makadish when Shabbos begins in the middle of your meal. But then you potus mapo makadish. Now, so the vort is then that. So Tosfos explains, nowadays we have large tables. We don't bring them out at the time. It would be too much of a bother. So what we do is, therefore, so that is one reason why we have the challah covered with a cloth. So there are actually three. Tosfos over here brings two of the reasons why we have the challah covered with a cloth. One is based on what we're saying here in the Gemara, because really by rights the challah should have been brought out only after Kiddush, but because we don't have these movable tables, then we can't do that. We first want to have the table set nicely, the covered Shabbos, with the challah ahead of time. But therefore, what we do is potus mapo makadish. So at least that way, it's showing that the bread was brought out the covered Shabbos rather than stam it was on the table. Another reason Tosfos says is that it's zeichel amon, because the mon was covered with dew on top and on bottom, and therefore the lechem mishnah has to be the same way. So it comes out, by the way, according to Tosfos, that in those times when they had those movable tables, they wouldn't necessarily cover the challah on a regular basis. Actually, from the Gemara itself, it seems that. This that we're saying, that you do it zeichel amon, they wouldn't necessarily in those times, because the usual way was they would make Kiddush, and then they would bring out the challah, then they would bring out the table with the challah on it, and there's no reason to cover it, because it was brought out after Kiddush. There's no reason to cover it until after Kiddush is over. A third reason, which is what you were going to say, the Rosh brings, is the idea in order not to embarrass the challah. Because we learned in Brachos that there's supposed to be an order of precedence within the Shivas Aminim, whichever one of the minim is closest to the word Eretz in the Pasuk, and you have Eretz Chita Usa'ura, and only then the Geffen. So by rights, you should be making a bracha on the challah first. Instead, we're making a bracha on the wine first. So in order not to, so to speak, humiliate the bread, we cover it. So there are three reasons, therefore, why we have our Lechem Mishnah covered. One is based on this idea that it really should have only been brought out after Kiddush. One is Zeichel Amon, and one is in order not to embarrass it, because we're setting it aside and making Kiddush. So if we had those little tables and we had them set elsewhere and brought, then technically, according to Tosfos' first reason, there'd be no reason to cover the challahs.
Zecher Leman was...
One second, Avraham.
In the house,
in
the kitchen, you'd be like...
Because the vote is, you want Dafka, the table should be set, including that it should have the main thing of the soda on it. The main thing of the soda is bread. Both Rashbam and Tosfos bring something over here from Shiltus that you want that the soda should be brought in honor of Shabbos. What Tosfos says is, the vort is that you don't want to have that you don't want to make such a big hefsik between Kiddush and the Suda. If you had to set the table elsewhere, or regular size, or large tables, and then you had to bring it in after Kiddush, it would be a big hefsik between Kiddush and the Suda. Therefore, we have the table set, including challah, beforehand, which again is that way it's for the honor of Shabbos, that it's set nicely with the main thing of the Suda, namely the challah, and then we keep it covered in order that symbolically it's only being brought the covered Shabbos after Kiddush is made. What are we going to ask, information?
The man, your reference to the man, why covering the challah is a reminder of the man.
Covering the challah is a reminder of the mon, because we have lechem mishnah on Shabbos to remember that we had a double portion of mon on Friday to last for Shabbos as well. So there's a direct connection between the Shabbos challahs and the mon. So therefore, we treat it. That's Tosfos' second answer, is that we treat it the same way as the mon and have it covered on top and on bottom, just like the mon was.
The mon was covered.
The mun was covered. What it was is, you have to remember, the mun fell on the ground in the midbar. So if there wasn't some kind of covering, then from the bottom it would get dirty with the sand, and from the top it would get dirty also with sand blowing around or other dirt or whatever. So the Eibishter put it, there was a layer of dew. It was like a sandwich. There was a layer of dew on the ground. Then the mun fell on that, and then another layer of dew on top of that, so that the mun stayed fresh and clean. So therefore, we remember that by doing the same thing with the challahs.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between the slav and the man?
The difference between the slav and the mon, for one thing, as Rashi mentions in Parshas B'Shalach, the mon they asked for properly because they were hungry. They needed bread. Bread is the mainstay of what a person eats. And therefore, the Eibishter gave it to them to save upon him yafas and gave it to them in the morning when they had plenty of time to prepare it for their main meal in the evening. Whereas the slav they asked for was not such a good thing. They had plenty of animals to eat, and meat is not such an essential thing for a person. So therefore, the Eibishter gave it to them, but like not so happily. In the evening, they don't have much time to prepare it. And of course, the second time they asked for slav in Parshas Bahaloscha, it ended up being a disaster. So yeah. All right. Onward. That twice, the two times they asked for slav, yeah. Once in Parshas B'Shalach and another time in Parshas Bahaloscha, yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Toni choda shovin she'en maschilin, v'tanya idach shovin she'maschilin. Now, you have two brises on the subject, going back now to the question about eating Erev Shabbos. So far we said Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, we said argue about two things when it comes to Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov. Number one, are you allowed to start a meal late in the day? And number two, if you did start the heter before that deadline, or do you have to interrupt your meal when Shabbos or Yom Tov comes, actually interrupt and bench and have the table taken away, etc.? Or is it enough or according to Rabbi Yossi, you can just continue your meal and make Kiddush at the end? We said Potus Mapo Makadish, that's the third opinion, but Rabbi Yossi himself said you can continue eating and you're only going to make Kiddush at the end. So now, one Braisa says, we said on Amar Aleph, if you make Kiddush at the end, it's still considered Kiddush Mokam Soda because you had a soda. After eating it. So, Tani Choda Shoven She'en Masfilin. Now, one Braisa says that both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda agree that you're not allowed to begin a meal past this time. The Tani Edoch Shoven She'maschilin. The other one says they both agree you are allowed to. So that's what we have to figure out. When we have that both of them agree you can't begin after the deadline, after Samach L'mincha, that's talking about Erev Pesach, because we said that both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda agree that on Erev Pesach you can't begin. We said the machlokas between them on Erev Pesach is as far as mafsikin. But the second braisa that says that they both agree that you could begin the meal, Amos, when are we talking about? In name of Erev Shabbos, do we mean on Erev Shabbos? Homiflag pligi. Can't be that they agree. We just said they disagree. We said they disagree. Rabbi Yehuda would say on any Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to begin after 9 hours, and Rabbi Yossi is allowing you to. The answer is like Kasha, kan kodim tisha, kan la'achar tisha. So no, the difference is the brises are talking about before 9 hours versus after 9 hours. Namely, that before 9 hours, before 3 o'clock in the afternoon, let's say, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're allowed to begin a meal. And once you began, then even Rabbi Yehuda says you could continue eating until Shabbos begins. All you have to do is you have to, according to him, at that point, when Shabbos begins, you have to break off and bench. But you can eat up until that point. And the other braisa is talking about as opposed to after 9 hours, then you have the machlokas that Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to, and Rabbi Yossi says you could. So that's what it means. Therefore, so the one braisa that says that shoven she'ein maschilin is talking about an Erev Pesach. The other one says shoven she'maschilin means on a regular Erev Shabbos before 9 hours. So then you're allowed to begin, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, and you're allowed to continue until it gets dark. You just have to break off at that point. Okay. So we'll continue with more dinim. We're going to have several blot over here of discussing dinim of Kiddush and Avdallah until finally on Daf Kuf Zayin. We're finally going to get back to Inyanim of Pesach, but we're going to continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with more dinim about Kiddush and Avdallah. We're going to talk about Kiddush Makom Soda. We're eventually going to talk about Yak Nahaz. We have a lot to discuss over the next couple of days of basic halachas of Kiddush and Havdalah. Shkoyach, everyone.